Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
We don't need to utter but three words. Tell this nation what we're talking about. They don't need words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. There are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And there are some others who tell people in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we are saying something else. We want all of our rights. And we want all of our... voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in calm motion turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, it's Saturday night. It's Saturday night, and this is Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation with the man himself, Dr. Benjamin Bridges. Let's give a nice hand and bring him into the studio.
Yes, indeed, my brother. Glad we have another chance to share some positive news with our folks to know that, you know, this is a time where we can come together and really start to see in this year some positive results that can change a lot of the negative situations that we find ourselves in. And it's not easy because so long have most majority of our people been sitting on the sideline complaining about it. But when you're just going to sit on the sideline and complain about the problems that we face as a people, the big part of the problem is that it's not going to change. But when we can start to utilize different approaches that can really bring about some positive change, that's when we can really bring it about. You know, one of the things, as I mentioned before, the practical way of doing it is dealing with, you know, possible marches, possible protests that we can have, you know, getting in touch with, you know, different aspects of really trying to focus on some of the things that were very successful even back in the 60s that we had did and got some good results on. And these are things that we can really do to bring about some positive change so they can really start coming through and bring forth some positive results. But again, practicality where we can actually focus on taking care of some of these things, as I said, whether we do a march, whether we actually are going to protest, whether we are going to, you know, really start to see things from a positive perspective and then move forward on something is very important. But one of the other things that's really important that we need to do, and that's to what we were talking about earlier, coming together in unity. Because, you know, there's an old saying that's been out there for many years, and unfortunately, it's very true. You know, divide and conquer. When you divide people up in their own communities, then you have conquered their, you know, vision of actually being successful in it to achieve things. And that's one of the things that we have to reevaluate in regards to seeing that we cannot afford to be divided, whether it's for religious situations where we don't want to deal with each other. Listen, if you ain't a Muslim, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Listen, if you ain't a Christian, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Listen, if you're not a Hebrew, I don't want, you know. So all these different things, you know, we shouldn't just utilize that as a brick wall that we're going to divide ourselves on, or whether it's even the countries that we're from, whether we're from Africa and different countries within Africa, unfortunately, are against each other. And same with the Caribbean island and same with here in the United States. Stop being against one another and come in unity into oneness. Come in unity and be true brothers and sisters that will want to help each other out. And that's what we really need to do, because once we start to focus on helping each other out, that's when we can take out a lot of the negative situations that have been affecting us for years, whether it's police brutality, whether it's racism and not even allowing our folks to vote in different states down south, whether it's a situation where we have financially, where we see our people in many communities, you know, throughout this country, where we are definitely, you know, suffering from poverty. And we don't need to be suffering from poverty. We are worthy after all those years of slavery where we didn't get paid a dime, a nickel, or a penny. We are definitely worthy of getting and living a prosperous and healthy and wealthy life. And that's something that we should be able to do. But again, that's another piece where coming together in unity is very important, because once we come together in unity to be a blessing to our community, we can really start to change things from the financial viewpoint as well. And that's important, because when you look in other communities, you see millionaires, groups of millionaires coming together and throwing millions of dollars into different projects that's going to improve their community. But when you are in a community where people are saying, nah, I ain't giving no money to the people in my community, forget them, I don't want to be bothered with that. You know, when you got that negative viewpoint where you don't even feel that the people in your community are worthy of getting any money from you, and you're a multimillionaire, that's the wrong mentality to have. We need to definitely see ourselves as folks that are millionaires, that have reached that point where they have that money, to really say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to give them all my money, but I could just put a portion of that money to the side for my people. And that's what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about 5 cents or a dime, a quarter, or a nickel. I'm talking about if you're a multimillionaire and you have 3 or 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 million dollars in your possession, if you take out even just 500,000, which is a half a million, that's not a crime where you're going to go to jail for helping your people by making that contribution. And these are things that need to happen. We need to start to give money that we do have, especially for those that don't have a problem with giving that money up, and we're going to be able to see multi-millions of dollars coming into our community to help our different situations. But if we're going to say, nah, I don't want to help them, I don't want to have nothing to do with that, then basically what happens is that puts those brick walls of separation and divide and conquer into our community. And we don't need to have that. So these are things that we need to turn around. But coming together in unity is something that is very important, whether it's from a political standpoint, whether it's from a spiritual unity standpoint, which is another very important aspect of us dealing with the problems that we have in our community. And that's one of the things, unfortunately, that many of our people overlook, because they see spirituality as something that really cannot help their people. So they kick it to the curb and say, you know, praying and, you know, fasting, meditation, all that kind of stuff is no good, man. That ain't going to do our community no good. But that's a lie. When you can really focus on the supreme power of God, who created the human race, who created this planet, who created animals and fish and birds, the heavens, the sun, the stars, the moon, and the sky, when you see all of that and you say, wow, God did create this, and this is something that ain't no joke. This is something that, you know, whoever created this has supreme and, you know, amazing power. So if you can realize and can actually come into oneness with knowing that if God created all these things, not just our planet, but we're talking about a universe. We're talking about the supreme Lord of the universe. He not only created this planet, but he created, you know, millions of planets throughout the universe. He created other races of beings on these different planets, not just the human race, but he also created other races of people that are on these different planets. And the bottom line is, how can somebody have the power to do that and then be limited not to even help you out? They do have the power to do that. But the bottom line is, if you can't see it, if you can't believe that God even has the power to be a blessing to you and to help you, then basically you're cutting yourself off of one of the most powerful sources that you could tap into that could help you to really be a life changer for you. And as I said before, one of the things that really was a great, you know, blessing for me was when I had a situation where four racist police officers were wanting to kill me for no reason. And I was, like, really surprised on that because, you know, I was just walking my dog in a park. And these guys was, you know, saying to me, like, hey, hold it right there. And I was like, what do you mean hold it? I said, get out of here, man. I said, you guys are going to arrest me for walking my dog in the park? He said, no, I just got realized that somebody just robbed a delicatessen around the corner there. And basically, because that happened, you know, that person had a dog. I said, so you think that I robbed a delicatessen? He says, you might have done that. So where were you for the last half hour? I said, well, I was up on the hill there by the playground right there. And basically what I was doing was helping out by getting rid of some of the garbage that was up there because somebody went into the projects across the street and stole mail out of the projects and left a whole bunch of it scattered all on the ground over here just outside the playground. And then they said, really? I said, yeah. So that's what happened. So basically what we could do, I said, we could go back up on that hill there to the playground because some of the parents that were, you know, there when I was there are still there. And he said, you could ask them, do they remember seeing me for the last half an hour or whether, you know, they never saw me there. And then the sergeant said, no, we're not going to go up there. I said, well, why not? You just asked me, did I show some proof? And I got the proof. You could go up there and check it out. He said, no, that's okay. That's all okay. And then one of them said, you know, Sarge, guess what? We're down here in the volley area down here in the park, and there's no witnesses down here. We could kill this nigger and get away with it. And I said, what? You could kill me and get away with it? And then one of the other ones said, yeah, Sarge, I have my ankle gun on me. And basically, after we shoot and kill him, we could put the gun in his hand and say he was shooting at us first, and we just returned the fire on him and killed him. And I said, what? And then the sergeant said, yeah, this sounds like some good ideas, and let's come together in a little huddle here and discuss this, and we'll see what we're going to do. And when they said that, my first thought was, man, I need to run for it. But then I thought about it, and I said, no. I really need to just ask God for help on this because if I run for it, you know, two of them might miss me, but the other two probably going to put about 8 or 10 bullets in my back. So I said, I ain't going to even take no chance with that. So I just looked up to the heavens and I said, Lord, please, if you could spare a miracle right now, I would truly appreciate it because right about now, I'm at a point where I could get gunned down and killed for no reason, and I did not rob the delicatessen, and these guys even know I didn't do it, but they want to kill me anyway, you know? And I said they could go up on the, where the playground is up there on the hill there, and then we could even ask the people there whether I was up there or not, you know? And I said, Lord, I need your support on this, and if you could support me by allowing that to happen where I could receive a miracle now, I don't know how you're going to do it, but... I said, if not, no miracle. I said, I guess I'll just see you out of this body soon because these guys are getting ready to put 10 or 12 or more bullets in me and get me out of this body. So then what ended up happening, you know, they came out of their huddle, and they all four of them had their guns pointed at me, and they were saying, you know, well, actually, it was just one of them that said this. He said, smart nigger, it's your time to go. And when he said that, I said, Lord, please spare me a miracle. And right after I said that, that's when two black police officers came running down the hill. And when they came running down the hill, they were saying, Sarge, is this the guy that robbed the delicatessen? And I said, no, I didn't rob the delicatessen, but these guys are getting ready to shoot me and kill me for no reason, man. And then the guy said, what, Sarge? You guys are getting ready to kill him for no reason? And Sarge said, no, we weren't going to kill him. We were just going to pat him down. And if he didn't have any weapons on him or any drugs or any stolen money, we were going to let him go. I said, that's not true. They just told me how they were going to kill me and, you know, all of this crazy stuff, man. These guys were getting ready to murder me. And then the rest of them, they put their guns down because they saw the two police officers standing there looking at them. But the sergeant came up to me and put the gun up towards my head and said, you better shut up. And if you say another word on this, you're going to be in big trouble. You know, and I said, you know what? I better shut up. Because this guy looked like he's going to pull the trigger and really blow my head off. So I said, forget it. So I didn't say nothing else. But anyway, they came down and they patted me up. And then they, you know, didn't find any guns. They didn't find any drugs, any stolen money. So they said, okay, we're going to let them go. And then they, you know, let me go. But I went right up to the one of the two police, black police officers that came down. And I told him, I said, man, if God didn't send you down here in the nick of time, I'm telling you, man, I would have had about 10 or 20 bullets in me from these four knuckleheads, man, that were going to kill me. And I'm glad that you showed up right in the nick of time. And he said, no, brother, I believe what you're saying, man. I truly do believe you because, you know, these kind of things do happen. I said, yeah, man. And I'm really glad that you guys showed up and God blessed me to really have you guys show up in the nick of time. He said, yeah, no, I believe you, bro. I believe you. And I just shook his hand and I just ran up the hill, man, because I didn't want these guys to, you know, shoot me anyway, you know, because I went up to the black police officer and told him the truth on what happened. But anyway, that was it, because they didn't shoot me when I ran up the hill. And I was really glad to see that that didn't come about. But the bottom line was, when I asked for that miracle to really happen, the good thing about it was that, you know, he sent two police officers that came out of nowhere and just showed up at the last second and minute before they were going to get ready to pull the triggers on their guns and shoot and kill me. So if these miracles can happen by God, which is something that definitely can, it's not even an if or a might or a maybe, it's something that it can definitely happen, not only just in my life, but it can happen in even one of your lives, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about it. But if you're a doubting Thomas or a doubting Thomasina, they're saying, well, God, he ain't got no power to save my life or improve my life. God can't do that, and Jesus can't neither. None of them can do that, man. That's not true. It definitely can happen. And bottom line is, I wouldn't even be here on this radio show talking to anybody if God didn't perform that miracle for me. And I was really grateful on that. And the beautiful thing about it, I was saying to myself, wow, he saved my life. I wonder if he had, you know, saved my life for some kind of purpose or something. And the beautiful thing about it was 9 months to a year later, that's when myself and my ex-wife, we got involved with, you know, the gang wars that were going on in actually putting an end to the gang wars. And that was really great. So I could understand, you know, he had a mission planned for me that I didn't even know anything about. But the beautiful thing about it was after he saved my life, he put me in a position where I could be a saver of people's lives as well. And I was really glad of that because we were able to save hundreds of kids' lives, not only here in New York, but even in Baltimore as well. And unfortunately, that's where we ended the program that we had in Baltimore when we stopped the gang war there as well. And I really wish at that time we had kept going around to the different cities and different, you know, portions of the country, because that would have been a very powerful thing. But right now what we're doing, we're coming together in spiritual unity once again. And in doing that, what we're doing is opening the door so that we can utilize the spiritual formula that Jesus gave us to really bring about the ending of the gang wars once again. And this is something that can really have a huge, huge impact on the lives of our youth and on our community. Because once we eliminate, you know, the brainwashing of our kids to want to kill each other, and also once we eliminate their desire to kill and destroy each other's lives, that's going to have a huge impact on our community. And the funny thing about it is, if we do not step up to the plate and do something about it, not only just from, you know, a practical viewpoint, but like I said earlier, the icing on the cake is the spiritual aspect. Because when God's supernatural power comes through to create miracles to end these gang wars and to stop the murdering and killing of our kids, that's a wonderful and powerful thing that can happen. But we're not supposed to know anything about that. We're just supposed to see ourselves as limited people that have limited ability to do or succeed in achieving great success and doing things that can really help our people. And that's why, again, we have to really focus on raising our minds and our consciousness to higher heights and deeper depths in God. Because once we start to do that, we're going to see some great results come about. But that requires a person to be not a doubting Thomas or not a doubting Thomasina, but it means that you as an individual need to know for surety that we have the ability to really bring about some great, awesome, and amazing results in the lives of our people and in our own lives as well. And tapping into our God-given power, tapping into a higher state of consciousness, because so many of our people, unfortunately, are stuck in the dungeon of Satan's mentality. And when you're stuck in that mentality, that means you have no respect for your brother or your sister. That means that you don't want to help them. You don't want to uplift them. You don't want to come together and work with them. All you want to do is see them in a negative perspective where you don't want to have nothing to do with them. And that's one of the reasons why we need to change that mentality and see us coming together in unity, see us coming together in respect, see us coming together in oneness to be a blessing to one another. And when we actually do that, we'll be able to make some great and wonderful things come about. But as long as we're going to see things from a negative mindset, that's when we're going to see negative results come about as a people. So we have to keep our minds up on high so our goals and dreams can really start to fly and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God and Jesus are here to help us out. But we have to believe it in order to receive it. And that's something that we seriously, seriously need to do. And this is something that, you know, is one of the requirements that we have to raise our consciousness and come into oneness with. Because once we start to really do that, we're going to start to see some very positive results. But again, as I said before, you have to be a strong believer. And in being that strong believer, you can be a strong achiever in bringing about positive change that can be a blessing to your life and can be a blessing to the lives of others. And once those kind of things happen, it creates a situation where it can really, really, you know, bring about the type of change and positive results that we as a people need to see. So anyway, I'm very thankful to the Lord for saving my life, because I know, like I said earlier, I would have had at least about 8 or 10 or 20 bullets in me by all four of them pulling their triggers on me. But the bottom line is that God said no. Satan said yes, it's your time to go. Smart nigga, get out of here. And basically, the Lord said, no. Number one, he ain't a smart nigga. He's someone on a mission to do some positive work to help to save the lives of your children in your community. And I'm here to make sure that he can move forward on this and be successful at the same time. So all I can say is I am definitely, definitely very thankful for that blessing of, you know, allowing me to come out of that situation where I was about to get gunned down and murdered by racist police officers. But the other side of that was that I was very, very thankful that, you know, even dealing with the gang wars, that we were able to, over a period of time, be able to change the minds of many of the youth and get them to come out of the gangs and, you know, turn that whole negative situation around. So all I can say at this point is we have the ability as a people to really bring about positive change in our community. And we have the ability to tap into our God-given power. But the bottom line is we have to believe it in order for us to receive that God-given power that we have. But as long as we're going to focus on the negativity, that God can't help you, that Jesus can't help you, and that spirituality is something that, you know, doesn't have any real ability, then basically we're going to just water down our ability to be able to change things. But even with Martin Luther King, when he came through, he was not a doubting Thomas. He was someone that believed in God and Christ. And because he believed in them, he was able to unify our people. And when he unified them, he was able to help to bring about the civil rights that gave us equal rights. And even though those equal rights didn't last for long, but it definitely had a huge impact on changing the real cruel racism that was against us back at that time before the civil rights came into play. And that was really great, because at that time period, your children couldn't go to, you know, a white college. They couldn't go to a high school. They couldn't even go into an elementary school. You know, you couldn't even go to a hotel. You couldn't go to a restaurant. You couldn't even go into a situation where you wanted to do business with them. You know, you could buy stuff from them. That's the only thing that they would let you do, you know, but outside of you working with them to make, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, they had a brick wall that was up of called racism that stopped our people from being able to do those kind of things. And then there was even a time period during that time period where racism was that wicked and terrible that, you know, there was a program that our people had, and that was Black Wall Street. And when Black Wall Street was alive, the thing about that was that we had different folks that were dealing with the stock industry, and they were making millions of dollars, and so many of them were becoming multi-millions, and that program was getting bigger and bigger, and it was not just in one location. It was in about four or five different locations here in the United States, and that was really great. But what ended up happening, because racism was so strong at that time, they ended up, you know, killing and murdering all those people that were involved with that. And there were a few people that did escape their murdering techniques of going into their neighborhoods with planes and bombing them out and all that kind of crazy stuff and killing their people, men, women, and children, just murdering them out. And the funny thing about it, nobody that did that did any jail time. You know, and that was, again, because racism was so strong that they didn't even check into, you know, the complaints of the survivors of that, that complained about the fact that so many of their people were killed in those different cities and towns that they lived in where they had the Black Wall Street program. But anyway, these are things that happened in the past and, you know, kept our people down and out, because even when they became folks that were dealing with things in regards to coming together financially to help one another and to really be a program that could actually, you know, be something that could really be beneficial to our people, what ended up happening was that, you know, it was stopped, you know? And these are things that, you know, show a reflection on how, unfortunately, many people do still to this day do not want our people to come out of the negativity of poverty. They want our people to stay in that, you know, because it's easier for somebody to control you when you're impoverished and you're begging for money on a street corner and you, you know, don't even have a roof over your head and you're in a situation where you're really down and out. But when you are a multimillionaire or even a billionaire, then you have a lot more power to do things to help your people and to help yourself and to live a great and wonderful life. But anyway, at this point, I just wanted to, you know, put that out there again to let you know that we have the ability to bring positive change in our community. But the bottom line is we need to actually touch base on one of the most powerful sources of that, which is spirituality. And then, as I said earlier, practicality is something that we can deal with as well in regards to come together in unity to really be a blessing to our community as well. But regardless whether you're dealing with spirituality or practicality, both of them need to be dealt with. But the bottom line is we definitely need to see both sides as being something that is needed to be dealt with. So if anyone, Brother Ron, has any questions on this at this time, then that would be something that they could comment on right now. And if not, you know, let me know, because I do have some other folks that do want to speak on this as well.
You're gonna open up mic 251-599. Your mic is open.
Hello, hey, how's everyone doing? I'm Claudia and Nicole.
All right.
Okay, yeah. Were you able to hear what we were just talking about?
Yes.
Okay, so what kind of feedback do you have on what we were just saying?
I feel like it was very positive, as in a way of just, you know, letting people know just to stick together. So, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for that, because that is very important. We do definitely need to come together. And once we start to do that, we're going to definitely start to see some positive change come about. But we just need to have respect and love and, you know, willing to bring about that positive change. And once we do come together in that positive mindset of wanting to help each other, that's when we can really start to see positivity come shining through, you know, in our community too, definitely. So anyway, I thank you, my sister, for sharing that, and I definitely would like to see if there's any other folks that had any
statements
that they would like to do.
352-538.
Okay.
352-538. Your mic is open.
Yeah, I enjoyed the positivity and the message about us as black people coming together.
Oh, okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to say, or you just wanted to basically comment on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on, you know, what you had going with Wall Street, Black Wall Street, and the things that happened. I think it's just a positive message. I was just enjoying it.
Okay, well, I do appreciate that, my brother, because these are things that we need to definitely recognize and see, that coming together in unity is something that's really important for our people to deal with. And, Brother Ron, did you have someone else?
Yes. And I'm just asking people to close your mic. You got background noise, children or whatever as well. 803-729, your mic is open.
That's me.
803-729, your mic is open. Okay. Move on. 480-292, your mic is open.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jean, CEO. Happy welcome to the next level. Michael Jordan is here. It's 23. We all prayed about it. We made it. Let's work in it. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Ron Robinson. Thank you, Dr. Winborn. Thank you, all the people on the sound of my voice. Thank you for the caller. Thank you for everybody. I'm so happy and elated to be in this new year. I know we're going to go off in the change of Michael Jordan. That's it.
Okay, my brother. Well, I do appreciate what you just finished saying, because we definitely need to do something this new year. So this is going to be a new reality for us. So again, we do need to come together in unity to be a blessing in our community. And that's something that, you know, it's very important for us to really start to focus on. And, yeah, I know. You're definitely on the money with that, brother, because that's what we need to
do. Okay, I'm ready now. I'm sorry.
And some support. Mm-hmm. Say what? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that last comment there. Okay. Well, anyway, also, I do have, you know, a person on this end of the line that wanted to comment on this as well. And here you go.
Well, I just thank God for what the man of God was saying. We all need to come together. You know, it's too much hating, it's too much jealousy, it's too much envy. You know, people get blessed and people get jealous. But we need to come together like God said, come together. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. So I just thank God for what he said and how God is using him. You know, it's time. You know, you see people on the street. Go out there and help that brother. Go out there and help that sister. Because they need help, you know. You know, don't just walk past them and say, oh, because they homeless. But you don't know why they homeless. You don't know what they've been through. But that's a feedback. We all need to love one each other because God loves us. In spite of what we're doing, God still loves us. He said he gave his only begotten son that we might have life and more abundantly. So we just need to come together. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can try back 803-729. Your mic is open. 803-729. Your mic is open.
Thank you, Ma.
Okay,
Dr.
Dr.
Go ahead.
We all Hello. Need to pray that our young people will stop killing each other.
Yeah.
We kill our old ladies out.
Oh, your mother? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm here.
Are you there?
Yeah. No, I'm saying.
I don't know Hello? Why they can't talk to
them. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, can you hear the comments that's being made?
Have to mute their mic.
What?
And I would just like to make the statement in reference to the young brother there that got killed. Brother Sinzae Reed, S-I-N-Z-A-E, Reed, R-E-E-D. Mother's Megan Reed, and he got killed in November by,
well, I told you.
Yeah, by this racist man. Crazy racist man, and we need everybody to call him to the police and request that there be an investigation and that he gets some kind of justice. And the police, Columbus, Ohio, Inspector General number is 614-645-9600. 614-645-9600. Call into their and request that we get some justice for young brother, 13 years old, Sinzae Reed. Call that number, 614-645-9600. He was killed by this man, this ridiculous man, and I found out that the man was released free. From the jail, based on some kind of stand your ground law, and you know, we can't continue to have these kind of things going on. We need to get some kind of resolve quickly as possible. So please call that number and see if we can get some kind of justice for this young man. This gentleman that killed him seemed to be very crazy, and a lot of things going on mentally with him. And we need to get some kind of justice for this young brother. And so the general inspector's number for the police of Ohio is 614-645-9600. 614-645-9600. This racist man killed this young black brother, and he was let go by the police. He was released by them on some stand your ground law, but there was no investigation into the killing. So they don't even know, you know, the man is let go because he's white and the boy is black, but there's no investigation at all, and there's no reason why he did it, you know. And so we got to get this crazy man off the street. And his name is Craig Butler,
36 years old, that killed this young boy. He lived right across the street from the boy. So, and the police didn't know, no kind of investigation, but they let this Craig Butler, they let him go. Let him go free on some stand your ground lore, and didn't investigate the incident, didn't investigate the murder, didn't case off the area and did an investigation, look for ballistics and nothing. This is crazy. So everybody, please call into the Inspector General's office of the Commissioner Police Department in Ohio at 614-645-9600. Thank you so much, Dr. Ben.
Yes, indeed. Is that number coming on to join with us right now? Does that person have any comments to say in regards to the murdering of the young guy that was killed?
Two five one five nine nine. Your mic is open. If you want to respond to the killing of your young brother Sensei Reed in Columbus, Ohio.
I was listening.
Yeah, go ahead, my sister. What were you saying?
Oh, yeah, I was saying that I was listening, and I do feel like we should come together for that gentleman. And also as well, this is my first time actually hearing about it, so I'm going to do some more research. And what was his name again?
His name is Sensei, S-I-N-Z-A-E, Reed, R-E-E-D. He's 13 years old now. He was killed in November in Columbus, Ohio, in front of his home. And this man, the racist that killed him, is Craig, K-R-I-E-G, Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R. And he just drove up and killed the little boy while he was playing in front of his house. And Samuel, he was taken to the precinct and let go based on Samuel Ground Lord. There was no investigation. There was no ballistic study. There was nothing. And I'm asking everybody to call the chief of police, the inspector general of the police department in Columbus, Ohio, at 614-645-9600. Call that number, complain, and ask for justice for Sensei Reed and his mother, Miss Megan Reed, M-E-G-A-N Reed, R-E-E-D, and prayers for the family and any support that is financial or whatever that we can give to help her. Megan Reed and her son, Sensei Reed, who's been killed by this racist Craig, K-R-E-I-G, Butler, B-U-T-L-L-E-R. He just walked up and just shot the young brother, and there was nothing done about it. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Columbus, Ohio, y'all. Call the Police Inspector General's office, 614-645-9600. And let's see what we can get done. We have 609-833. Just came on as well, Dr. Vanyama.
That's Bud, kid. That's Bud, Dr. Ron. Good people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did you have any comments on what we just said? Okay. Well, Ms. Adamica, I do have another person that, you know, would like to give their, you know, comment or feedback on what you just said in regards to the young man being killed. And she would definitely like to join in and share her viewpoint as well.
I'm Ms. Bupp, and I would like to say something on that. Our young people dying like water. The police killing them, and our own race are killing out.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to get together and do more praying. And I hope our young people will listen and drop these guns and stop killing one another, because we're killing our own race. Mm-hmm. Even little 9-year-old kids are killing one another. It's just like Wild Wild West again. And that's very sad. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
And thank you as well, my sister, for your comment. And it's true, you know, not only racist white police officers or, you know, just racist people in general that would like to kill our people, knowing that because there's a racist justice system, that 9 out of 10, if they kill that black person, that they don't have to worry about doing any jail time or, like the brother said, even investigation on them to, you know, how they actually did bring about the murdering of someone. And these are things that are only being done because our people are not stepping up to the plate and doing anything about it. So we need to not only just deal with it from, you know, the perspective of focusing on it as a situation where we're seeing it as something that needs to be done, you know, from the perspective of protesting about it, and also the other side of it, which is very important, is even praying and doing a prayer and meditation on it. Because if you do that and you really do utilize the spiritual power of God to bring about some positive change, it can really come about. But the bottom line is we have to believe it and know it. We can't sit on the sideline and just say, hey, you know, so what, that guy was killed and, you know, it ain't no big thing. It is a big thing. We do not need to see large numbers of our children being destroyed, you know, whether we're pulling the trigger or whether they're pulling the trigger. It needs to be ended. It needs to stop. So if you had someone else, Ron, that you, you know, had on the line, you know, definitely that would be nice to bring them on board at this point to see if we have any additional comments. But if not, that's not a problem at all either. Do you have someone else that could deal with that? All right, but no problem, man. Basically, what I'm looking at this time is that we can definitely, you know, see what we can do in regards to that, because that is something that is very important.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Who is this?
Yes, how you doing? My name is Dixie Smith. I'm the owner of a company called OneOverHere.com. And I was invited to the show today by CEO Don Jr. And, you know, listening in today, you know, I'm calling from Atlantic City, New Jersey. And, you know, I've been a victim of police brutality myself. And, you know, I went as far as getting litigation, you know, for my injustice. And, you know, a lot of the police officers that they did background checks on, a lot of them had internal affair incidents and stuff like that on that jacket. And, you know, a lot of them come to work with stressful, you know what I mean, demeanors and stuff like that. I was dealing with all aspects of the world, a man, a father, a husband, you know, a son, a brother, a cousin, a nephew, a neighbor. And, you know, the thing is, like, us as a people, we need to, you know what I mean, want for our brothers, we want for ourselves, not just, you know, our biological brother or genetic brother, you know. You know, we got to work for mankind as we work for ourselves, you know. And when people approach situations with that type of respect in mind, I think we should be looking towards different dispositions and outcomes.
No, that's you know, a good comment that you're saying, brother. Because, you know, we definitely need to see what we can do about this, you know. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, sitting on the sideline and just letting it be, it's not something that, you know, is going to change our community. It's just going to make things worse. Because when they see that, oh, shoot, you know, we just killed a whole bunch of kids last night and last month, and, you know, we got away with it, and they didn't even protest about it. They didn't say nothing about it. And they just sitting on the sideline complaining about it. So that's good. We're going to kill some more next month, too. when you see that kind of a situation occurring, you're encouraging people to want to reach out to destroy the people in your community. And then not only that, but even the kids in these gangs, when they see that all of this kind of stuff is happening and they're able to get away with it as well, that's not a good thing either, because what that's saying is that, hey, I can do this kind of stuff and get away with it, you know, and the police ain't even put
in. And a lot of the times, brother, a lot of the times when these situations occur, most gentlemen are immediately incarcerated because they write you either a summons or a warrant. I know in New Jersey this is how they do it. They either write you a summons or a warrant. A summons is like a court date to appear to, you know, to debate, you know, the charges against you. But when they write it on a warrant, they're going to incarcerate you right there, or, you know, the nearest PACE officer that sees you is supposed to arrest you. So therefore, a lot of the gentlemen who have police brutality situations are often incarcerated within the first 90 days to a year, you know, without nobody even notice of their situation, because that's the situation I found myself in. Now, maybe if we can have like an outlet or where somebody can write, or, you know what I mean, have a social worker call or something, to where it's a hotline or something like that, to where somebody like you, myself, or Don can answer the phone and, you know, look into this person's situation, then I think that would be like an inexpensive way to at least put a Band-Aid on it for right now until we can get surgery.
No, I hear you, brother. And I think that, you know, that's true to a certain extent. You know, but just like what Brother Rahm was just saying, with the 13-year-old, there wasn't even an investigation on this, you know, with the murdering of that 13-year-old. So if that was something that was going on a regular, that would be because our community is on top of this and making sure that we're putting pressure on the justice system to actually conduct things in a proper and decent way. But when you're not even going to say anything about it and you're not going to do anything about it, it inspires the racist justice system as well as the racist police officers and also just racist white people that feel like, hey, you know, we can kill these niggas and get away with it. You know, don't even have to spend a day or a week or an hour in jail. And unfortunately, it depends on what state you're in, because the bottom line is, if you're in a racist justice system, then basically what's going to happen is the judges and the police officers aren't going to view you as a situation where they're going to show you respect or anything. All they're going to do is just take advantage of you and your people. But the other side of it is, if we can start to step up to the plate and deal with this people, that's when we can really put some pressure on the system to make some changes so that this cannot just keep occurring over and over again. But, you know, that's on us. You know, we can point the finger at them and say it's all their fault, but that's not going to change nothing. What we have to do is step up to the plate ourselves and deal with this as a people. And when we start doing that, that's when we can really start to make some positive change come about, you know. But I think
now that we're coming up with some answers and solutions, how about we start coming up with some effective ways to put steps in place to start taking steps towards the ultimate goal of what we're trying to achieve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Coming together in unity.
Don, I know how to build websites. I know how to build websites. Even if we just made a www. It only costs $20 a year for www. You know,
mm-hmm.
And even we can start there. You know, I'm not sure how many people is on the line, but if everybody donate $1 to get a www. Whatever name we decide on as a foundation to start putting a stop to it immediately as you know what I mean, as a people. You know, when I say us, I mean just starting with the people that's on the radio show or listening in, you know.
Right. No, you're right. That's a good thing, because when you have about 40 million people in your country, even if they all put up $1, you know, that's $40 million. So it doesn't have to be that each person has to put up $1,000 or $5,000 to donate. It can be a small amount of $2 or $3 or $5 or $10, you know, or even just $1. But
But the bottom line
is that's what it comes down to.
Be a good thing for our people.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to, the financial aspect of, you know, making it worth people's time to go above and beyond. A lot of people would like to do more things out of volunteer than, you know, out of just companionship or, you know what I mean, or emphasize the words to next man, woman, or child. But they still have to keep their lights on as well. So, like, I mean, we probably could put together a nine. Like, I'm sure, I know between hearing you speak, I'm not sure who's all on the line, but I know Don Jr. is very smart and computer savvy, and you sound very educated yourself. Like, I'm sure we can put something together to put it in place to really, you know, come up with some answers.
Yeah, I believe you're right, brother, because these are things that we need to start taking some positive steps on to really bring about some positive change. Because, like I said before, if we're just going to complain about it, and that's it, then nothing's going to change. So things are just going to get worse. But if we can step up to the plate, like you said, have a website, if we can step up to the plate and even get donations for us to, you know, start your advertising this, you know, throughout our community, that we need to really do something about this. You can put up posters. You can, you know, have meetings. You can, you know, have marches. There's a lot of different things that you can do to really bring about a positive impact in your community. But like I said, the worst thing you could do is just say, wow, man, I just heard that, you know, two or three kids just got killed last week, man, and that was crazy, man. And that was, you know, by some racist police officers. If you're going to say that, you know, that means that at least you know what just happened. But if you're not going to do nothing about it, that's not a good thing. So these are things that we need to do. We need to step up to the plate and see what we could do to bring about some positive change, you know. And all I can say at this point is I know if we come together in unity, we're definitely going to be a blessing to our community. Ain't no question about it. I know that as a fact. And then if you add the icing on the cake, as I said before, and that icing on the cake is to add the spirituality of God's power dealing with that to even bring about some positive change, that's even very powerful. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that, get out of here, spirituality, you can't do nothing with that. And I understand where they're coming from, because they have not seen any positive, great miracle results in their life when they were praying to God or to Jesus. So they're just saying that it can't work. But the reality is that it can. But when you're, half of your mind is filled with doubt and the other half of your mind is saying, yeah, this probably can work. You know, it's probably not, because, you know, you got so much doubt in your mind and heart that you're putting up a brick wall that's saying that it's not going to happen. But the bottom line is we can come together with those who are strong believers and see what we can do to bring about some positive change in our community. And once we start to do that, we're going to see some great results come about. But again, we just have to believe it in order to receive it. And that's very important, too, because we can't step to the side with pushing spiritual power, spiritual ability to the sideline, which is the essence of the icing on the cake of what we can do to really bring about some positive change. You know, that's not something that we can sweep under the rug or throw underneath the table or something crazy like that. That's something that we should really focus on as well as a people. So I just want to mention that.
Do you know the rapper, not to cut you off, do you know the rapper Meek Mills from Philadelphia?
No, I haven't heard his conversation yet. Mm-hmm.
Okay, he started a foundation. He had Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots and the owner of the Sixers, come visit him in jail concerning, you know, his injustice with the system, far as they had him on probation for 10 years and they kept violating him. They had to do a year, and, you know, it went on for 10 years, you know. So he started a foundation concerning police injustice as well. And, you know, it's of a little programs and stuff like that we could probably reach out to. And you know what I mean, if they already have the flame burning, then we can just join their flame and add it to us.
Well, that's another very good, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a number of different groups that are out here
that have done things and that are active to a certain extent. They're just not as active as need be in order to bring about the change. But being that they are active and you can tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, come on, let's all come together in unity and work together, that's when you can, you know, really start to do some great things. Because when you find people that are serious about wanting to see this change come about, and then you can unite with them along with other groups as well, then that's when you can really start to see some positive results start shining through. Because it is important to bring different organizations and groups together in unity that want to bring about some change for the community. Because sometimes you could go to a church or a masjid and all they want to do is sit on the sideline and complain about it. You know, but if you find a church that's really serious about wanting to bring about some positive change, but they just need somebody to, you know, say, come on, you know, bring your congregation, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And then basically that's what happens. They end up joining in with you, and they end up wanting to be a part of the movement that you're starting. So these are things that we can definitely do. And I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a number of organizations, you know, that are in different cities throughout the United States in the black community that would like to, you know, really start to, you know, climb that ladder of success. But the bottom line is they just need to join in with other organizations that want to do the same thing and are now starting a movement to really make it happen. So, yeah,
I mean,
if
you take a look at Chicago, Chicago, like, the death total there is, like, genocide. And, like, you know, they have no respect for human life out there. And I'm sure that it's, like, you know, some type of organization that's starting in them type of area where they're most affected by the gun violence and the lawful use. I mean, but we don't need no LeBron Jameses or, you know, no Patrick Mahomeses or nothing behind our society or behind our movement to, you know, to get some things going, because we have pillars right here in our own community. You know, you can reach out to a pastor or a deacon or something in your local church. And even if you're not religious, you can reach out to a DJ or a barber. You know, it don't even have to be religious. So this is like, you know, I mean, we have all the tools in place to where if we just run the thing through every line that we have and everybody's on the same page, then people will start moving different knowing that somebody is watching.
No, you're right, brother. That is something that's really important for our people to do, because there's organizations out there that just need to be, you know, tap on the shoulder to say, okay, brother, I've been hearing that you guys are angry about all this crazy stuff that's happening in our community. And, you know, and if there was a movement that wanted to really bring about some positive change, you would definitely want to be a part of it. Well, guess what? The movement has started, and you should join in with us. And 9 out of 10, they will join with you. And this is something that we need to do. But anyway, again, I'm really glad to see that, you know, you know, you're bringing up some important issues with this, and these are things that we can definitely do. And we'll talk, you know, even after this radio show, so that we could, like, start to get things in motion and really start to see that, you know, these are things that we can do for our community that can bring about positive change in our community. All we have to do is really be sincere in wanting to help our people, wanting to bring about positive change that can end the murdering in our community, because it's out of hand right now. It's out of control, and we don't need to just be angry about it and just say, wow, man, this is ridiculous, this is crazy, and just keep saying that over and over again and don't do nothing about it. We need to step up to the plate, find other groups and organizations that definitely want to bring about an ending of all of this murdering, whether it's our people killing each other or whether it's their people killing our people. It doesn't make a difference. You know, the bottom line is murdering has to end. And it can end. But the only way it can really end is if we do something about it, not if we complain about it. And that's something that's very, very important.
Amen.
But we do have the ability to bring some positive change about. But the only way that we can really do that is when we decide to step up to the plate and say, you know what, forget about complaining. I ain't complaining no more. I'm going to do something about this. And then when you go into that mindset of thinking it's coming from a positive result mindset, that's when some positive results can come about. But like I said, complaining ain't going to get it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to bring any change about. But doing something about the negative things that you see happening, like I said earlier, whether it's the gang wars with our kids killing each other, whether it's racist police officers, or just racist white people that feel like, man, you know, if I kill a few niggas today, I could get away with that with no problem, man. Because in our town, you know, they don't even care about, you know, black people, don't respect them at all. So and even if I go to court, you know, I know the racist judge that's there, he's going to let me go. So I don't care, man. I'll kill about two or three of them, and I know I could get away with it. So a lot of times it depends on where you're talking about and how it can be done. But the bottom line is that if nobody is going to say anything about it, then nothing's going to be done about it. And that's where we got to come in to step up to the plate and really do things with different groups, different organizations that are serious about making positive change in our community. And if we don't say nothing and don't want to do nothing, then nothing's going to be done. You know, that's what's still so, very important.
So I just want to bring up again that we need to call out to the General Inspector's Office, the Police Commissioner of Columbus, Ohio. Call that number, complain, ask for justice for this young brother. The number is 614-645-9600. The young brother's name is Sinzae, S-I-N-D-A-E, Sinzae Reed, R-E-E-D. This monster, Craig Butler, 32-year-old white male, now finding out that he's a racist, and he killed his young brother. He went to jail, and they released him on stand your ground. How the hell he's standing his ground, and the kid is playing in his yard. So, people, this is a sign of things to come. If we as the black people or the African-American people, whatever you want to call it, we don't stand up and get justice, today is that is Sinzae Reed. Next day is your child, your grandchild, my grandchild, and it's getting out of hand. So I'm telling everybody, call this police department. Tell them that we want justice for Sinzae Reed, for Megan Reed, Louis Snowden is his father, and we need justice. We need justice. We need justice. We need to call this 614-645-9600 and ask these people to get some justice for this young brother in Columbus, Ohio. Anybody in Columbus that know his mother and how to contact her, please give me a call, 203-515-7167, 203-515-7167 as well. So we have more callers as well. You have 331-452, 331-452. Your mic is open.
Well, you know, one thing I just wanted to say before the new caller comes in, could you mention those two phone numbers one more time, brother?
Okay, the Columbus, Ohio General Inspector's Office for Complaints is 614-645-9600. And the Police Commissioner's Office is 614-645-4545. 614-645-4545, Commissioner's Office, and the General Inspector's Office, where you file complaints, is 614-645-9600. We're talking about Mr. Sinzae, S-I-N-Z-A-A-E, Reed, R-E-E-D, young brother. At the time, I think when he was shot, he was 12. Now he's 13 years old. This white man is a racist named Craig, K-R-I-E-G, Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R. He's anywhere between 36 and 45 years old. He shot him. He went to the police station and he was released and found innocent and released. Okay? And the mother had no investigation, no ballistics, no videos, no nothing. And they telling her nothing. And this is kind of bullshit we're going to have to put up with until we get together and stop it. I'm angry because the 9-year-old boy got killed by a white man, and it's a continuous thing. And we're not, it's not all of it, all this stuff is not in the news. A 9-year-old black boy was killed by a white man in somewhere in North Carolina. And I can tell you more and more and more as you keep hearing about these things, as you start to investigate them and you start to read on them, there's so many of them being killed, and ain't nothing being done about it. We cannot sit here and be an endangered species in America. It can't be that way. We're all vulnerable. We're all exposed to this crap, and it got to stop. So we got to get together, and we got to put our resources together. Like the brother said, we have to put websites out. We got to put newspapers, videos, the social media. You use it for so much crap. You use it for so much dive. Now it's time to use it for a positive ending. So please, sir and ma'am, call General Inspector's Office, Columbus, Ohio Police Department. Get ask for justice for Mr. Sinzae, Sinzae, Reed, Reed. His mother, Ms. Megan, Megan, Reed, Reed. The father, Lewis Snowden, and this man that killed him, this murderer, this half a human being, this monster, Craig, K-R-I-E-G, Craig Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R, is the killer, the murderer, the piece of crap. He is the one need to be put under the bars. We have to call into these numbers and ask for
the first
justice.
Name of Reed? The first name of Reed is
Sinzae.
What again?
Sinzae. S-I-N-Z-A-E. His mother is Megan Reed. His father is Lewis Snowden. And the murderer, the killer, the monster is Craig, K-R-I-E-G, Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R. We want him back in jail. He's a monster. He's killing children. He's probably a pedophile. So people call in, 614-645-7900, complaint. Call the police commissioner's office, 614-645-4545. Complaint number 614-645-4880. 614-645-4800. This craziness got to stop. This is getting ridiculous now. It's really getting, America's really becoming a piece of crap, and it's getting ridiculous. Nevertheless, we have another caller, 312-330. 312-330, your mic is open. Can you hear me? 312-330, your mic is open.
Email. I'm just listening into the program. It's very interesting. I'm learning right now. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to say hello. I just want to give a shout-out to Pastor Don for inviting me to the show. Very informative. I want some more information. I want to continue to listen in. Thank you.
Okay, I want you to know very quickly, if anybody in Columbus, Ohio, you know Mrs. Megan Reed, please give us a call, 203-515-7167. Young lady that just picked up the phone, young brother, 12 years old, playing in front of his home, a racist monster killed him. By the name of Craig, K-R-I-E-G, Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R, shot this young brother, 12-year-old kid, shot him, went to the police department, got cleared of the murder, because of stand your ground. How in the hell are you standing your ground against a child playing in a yard? Okay? We just got to stop. Everybody, if you ain't upset, if you ain't feeling sad, if you ain't feeling remorse for this mother, Megan Reed, and his father, Lewis Snowden, if you're not feeling bad for this child, I am pissed off. I am mad as hell. And I'm telling you, if it continues, I grew up, I'm 70-something years old. I grew up in the segregated South. I saw this crap. I saw how it grows. I'm warning y'all, if we sit back and continue to let them kill our children, a little boy, 9-year-old boy, was killed by a racist in North Carolina, and they're killing them all over this country. If you allow it to keep on, it's going to hit your community. It's going to hit your family. It's unfortunate, but I'm giving you a warning because I've been down this road. I've been through the Civil Rights Movement with Dr. King. I've been through the Jim Crow laws. I've been to the 1950s and all the bull crap. I've been segregating the schools, desegregating the schools at 5 years old and 6 years old, and been attacked by criminals trying to go to school. I know what it is, and I'm telling y'all, this is a bad sign. It's a bad sign. The political system in America is broken. The Republicans on one end, the Democrats on the other end, they fight each other like monsters, and ain't nothing getting done for the American people. Nothing. No justice getting done. But for we black people, we African Americans, we getting the hell on top of the hell. Whatever little, they get, like they say, they get a sneeze, we get pneumonia. We have to, people, I'm just saying this, from the Spirit of God in me, as a minister, as a prophet, we got to move. Don't sit back and go back when you finish this call tonight. Go sit back in your living room and watch television. Get on that damn phone as soon as you can. Leave a message on that machine that you want justice for Mr. Sensei, S-I-N-Z-A-E, Sensei Reed, R-E-E-D, Megan Reed, M-E-G-A-N, Reed, R-E-E-D, that's the mama. Lewis, L-O-U-I-S-E, Snowden, S-N-O-W-D-E-N, that's the father. We want justice for this young brother. We can't let this go. They're killing these babies. These are babies. They're innocent. They didn't do nothing to nobody. Now, we got to stop it. I'm just telling y'all, this is serious. This is serious. This is real serious. But this ain't getting out of hand. And that just means it's minutes to seconds that we're going to hear, you know, it could happen to you, it could happen to me, my grandkids, my great-great-grandkids, my great-great-grandkids, it could happen to your niece, your nephew, your son, your daughter. It's getting crazy. And we got to take this seriously. African Americans, they're too much into the political thing, the LGBTQ and all that crap, and talking about all these unnecessary crap. You know, all this stuff about voting and this and that, and they're killing us. That's what I'm talking about. We got to be about something that's going to save our people. And if you got a skill, the brother was on, he said he knows websites and he knows how to communicate through his social media. If you got a skill, we need to come together and get this information out. This brother is just one of amongst hundreds of thousands of young men getting killed by racist cops and racist people, and it's getting out of hand and getting too bad. And I just have the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to see that it's proliferating itself. It's going from one place to the other place to the other place. Every time you look around, every damn day, there's something, somebody getting killed, some innocent person. And we have to get together and stop it. I put money behind it, put words, put the verbal communication behind it, put your social media behind it. We got to come together, and it's just ridiculous. I'm sorry, Dr. Benjamin, you know, taking up your time here, but I appreciate it.
Well, no problem, my brother, because these are things that our people need to hear in regards to some of the steps we need to take to really make some things come about. because we can't, as I said before, just sit on the sideline and complain about this. We need to step up to the plate and do something about this. And once we start to really bring about some positive moves that can really make some positive change, then that's when it's really going to happen. And like I said, whether it's from a positive mindset of doing things from a positive perspective, where you're just going to, you know, like I said, whether it's a march, whether it's a protest, whether it's, you know, collectively coming together in unity and starting to figure out different ways that we can bring about change in our community. And then, like I said earlier, the maximum, you know, power of this, which is many times not even looked upon as the maximum power, is the spirituality of coming together in unity as well. Because, like I said earlier, you know, when we were able to end the gang wars, that was the thing that really was the game changer for us, utilizing the spiritual power of Jesus the Christ. And when he shared that spiritual power with us on what we could do to bring about change in our community and ending that gang war, that was very powerful and very positive. Because when it ended the gang war, you know, we were able to save the lives of many youth, because it wasn't just that particular time in 2010. We had, you know, about 12, 11 years that went by with no murdering in our schools, you know, and that was a good thing. Because, you know, when you got, you know, a situation and it works just for 1 year, and then the next year they're back at each other's throats killing each other, then that's a whole nother situation. But when you can bring years and years of no violence amongst our youth, you know, that are in the schooling system, and they stop murdering and killing each other, that's a good thing. And that's a powerful thing that we can definitely initiate again amongst our people. And that's why I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can definitely bring this about. But again, we have to know that we have the ability to do these things, instead of just seeing it as something that will never work for us. And, you know, spirituality and God's power and Jesus' power doesn't amount to anything, because it would never be able to, you know, manifest into anything on a physical plane of seeing positive results. And that's not true, because we already saw the positive results that happened back in 2010, and even 10 or 11 years later, that murdering was stopped after that long time stretch. So that's telling you right there that this is something that's powerful. This is something that can really bring about amazing and wonderful results. But we have to believe it in order to receive a blessing like this for our people. And these are things that we can definitely do, no question about it. So anyway, I'm very, very glad to see that we had a chance to bring up these different topics and speak about these different subject matters, because these are things that are definitely serious problems in our community that need to be solved. And one of the things that we normally do when we get around this time period, we come together in a prayer and a meditation to actually move forward and to see what we can do to bring some positive things to come through in our community. So basically, right now I have a person that's going to start off with the prayer, and after they finish with the prayer, then we're going to do the meditation.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, once again, we want to say thank you, God. Lord, we just thank you for bringing us all together, God. Oh, God, we ask you to come in the midst of this situation with the young boy. Oh, God, that we can all come together, God. So, God, we ask the Holy Ghost to come in here like a rushing mighty wind, God. So, Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the honor, God. Lord, break every chain. Break every curse in the name of Jesus, the general curse. We break it right now in the name of Jesus. We break all his violence in the name of Jesus. God said what he bind on earth, he'll bind in heaven. What he loose on earth, he'll loose in heaven. So, Lord, we just thank you, God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, my sister, for the prayer. Now what I would like us to do, for those who are listening and sit on the line with us at this point, is have a comfortable sitting position and close your eyes for a minute. So we're getting ready to utilize one of the spiritual powers that God has given us. And this is what you call a spiritual tool that can bring about some serious positive change. And that's called meditation as well. So right now, before we get focused into the meditation, we're going to do three deep breaths, and then we're going to go into the meditation. And the reason why we're doing that is because it raises our consciousness higher. And when we go into the meditation, we'll be right on the money. Right on the power note of making some positive things come about. So anyway, here we go. On the first breath, let's breathe in deep. And that is the power of peace and relaxation and totally feeling no negative vibration. Yes, indeed. So once we start to feel that positive energy of peace and total relaxation moving through our mind, heart, and body, that is very powerful. Now we're going to breathe out all the negative thoughts, the negative feelings, the negative energy that tries to hold us back. Once we release it and know that we can definitely set ourselves free through the power of God and Jesus to allow us to see, you know, our new state of consciousness where we can really start to move and to make some positive things happen. That's what we need to do. Change our thinking from being tense and nervous and angry and start to see things from a positive perspective. Once we start to see things from that positive perspective and knowing that in having a state of mind and a peaceful state and a positive state of mind, we're going to be able to really bring about some positive change. Okay, so the second breath. Let us utilize that right now. Breathe in deep. And that second breath is knowing our true identity, not just as what this system is telling us, that we are limited human beings and that we are sinners and people that can never achieve really any great, you know, results or any positivity. Those are the lies of Satan. But when we start to focus now on the truth of God, we can start to see some great new reality coming through for our lives. So what we need to do is know that we are truly sons and daughters of God that have the ability to bring great, awesome, and amazing things about. But we have to believe in God's spiritual power beyond a shadow of a doubt, and Jesus's as well. And let us not leave out the Holy Spirit, because that is something that is very powerful as well. And those three wonderful and amazing aspects of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are very real. But the bottom line is we have to see it and we have to believe it. And now, breathing out all fear and doubt and knowing that the thought of none of this can never come about, all of that negativity is exhaled out of our being, out of our minds, out of our hearts, and we're releasing all that negativity. And we're just focusing on the positivity of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and knowing that we can bring about positive change. But what we have to do is to believe it and know that we can receive it. Last but not least, our third breath. Breathe in deep. And that third breath is truly focusing on not just our true identity, but our God-given power. Our God-given power dwells within us, and all we have to do is activate it. But in order to activate it, as Jesus said, I and the Father are one.
You have to be in oneness and in harmony with God. You have to be in harmony with the Holy Spirit. And when you are in harmony with God and the Holy Spirit, you can start to really focus on some positive things and some positive results coming through God and through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But that's very important. Because if you're going to use that given power to really bring about some positive change and some positive results in our lives, then that means that we need to start to see some positivity coming about without a doubt. But the bottom line is that we have to see it, we have to believe it in order to receive it. But if we're going to just be doubting Thomases and doubting Thomasinas and saying, get out of here, man. God can't help us. He just don't have no power to help us. And the Holy Spirit, what are you talking about, man? That can't help us either. So all of that I understand because where the brainwashing of Satan has come about, to tell us that we're sinners, that we're incapable of doing things and all of that. And unfortunately, there are many of our people that believe those lies of Satan. That's telling us that we're incapable, that we don't have the power, that we don't have the connection with God that can bring about any positive change. And that's what they want you to believe. But we can definitely change that negativity by starting to see ourselves in a positive mindset. And once we start to really focus on things from a positive mindset, then we can start to bring positive results in our lives. And that's what is really important.
Okay.
Not to be stuck in the negative job, but to be really focused on knowing that we have the capability of bringing about positive change in ourselves and even in our community. So right now, what I would like us to see is a very powerful, bright light that is shining above our heads. And that bright light is the light of God's divine love, and also not only God's divine love, but Jesus' divine love as well. And we're seeing that entering into our mind and entering into our heart. And as it does that, we're going to start to see a brand new start. And that brand new start is a start where we're going to be able to really start to see some positive and wonderful results start to come about. Because when we utilized that spiritual formula in the past, we were not only able to just say this, but we were able to see this as a positive result coming about, where we're talking about 10, 11, 12 years of no violence amongst our youth in the school system. And that was great because there was a, you know, the kids were killing each other left and right in the school. And it was getting ridiculous and crazy. But the beautiful thing about it, we were able to utilize that spiritual, powerful formula that Jesus gave us. And it ended the gang war. And we're going to utilize that again. And again, if we can focus on it, not as doubting Thomases and not as doubting Thomasines, this can never come about. I'm talking about if we can focus on this as strong believers to start to see that we're going to be strong achievers in ending these matters, not only with our kids once again killing each other, but also ending racist white police officers that were even trying to kill me at one point, which was ridiculous. But at the same time, the good thing about that was that God allowed us wonderful, a great miracle to come about. Because when you got four racist police officers pointing that gun at you and saying, nigga, it's your time to leave now, you know, I mean, 9 out of 10, a few seconds later, you got them pulling the trigger. But instead of them pulling the trigger, they had to put their guns down when they saw those two black police officers coming down. But these are things that are miracles that we can help to bring about. But the bottom line is you have to believe that you have the ability to really tap into your God-given ability to bring these things about. And again, not as doubting Thomases, not as doubting Thomases, but as strong believers that know that God's awesome and amazing supernatural power can bring about supernatural and positive change in our lives. And that is no joke. That is very serious. And we have the power and the ability to do this. So again, seeing that light, seeing ourselves, and seeing every single cell in our body glowing brightly, and that light is glowing so brightly that it is shining seven times brighter than the sun, all right?
Yes.
And as it's doing that, it's cleansing our minds of negative thoughts. It's cleansing our hearts of negative feelings and emotions. And as we allow all of that to be totally cleansed and released from our minds and hearts, now we can start to see things from a brand new start. What I want us to focus on right now is seeing that bright light leaving from our hearts and going into the minds and hearts of all our youth. Not only the gangbangers, but even young youth that are 3, 5, 1 years old, and also that are all the way up to 18 and even beyond 18. They can be young adults as well in their 20s, 23, 21, 25. The bottom line is these are the age brackets where our kids are killing each other. And basically what we're saying is when that light of God's divine love and that light of Jesus' divine love goes into the minds and hearts of all of these kids in our community, what we're going to start to see is great, awesome, and amazing results. And that great, awesome, and amazing result is that we will start to see God's new reality in changing the hearts and minds of kids that don't even want to change their minds and hearts. They want to stay stuck in being able to be proud and say, hey, you know, we're the biggest and baddest gang in Brooklyn or in Harlem or in, you know, in South Carolina or in Atlanta or wherever. And they're bragging about killing each other. So they're not even thinking about that they're doing anything wrong, thinking about doing things that they're doing, which is definitely wrong. But even in the Bible, it says, thou shalt not kill. But what's going on? These kids are listening to Satan. They're not listening to God. And when Satan has grasped your mind and said, no, there's nothing wrong with you killing people. You keep killing them, and that's a good thing. And the bottom line is, unfortunately, they believe that there's nothing wrong with killing each other, you know? And that's why it's so important for us to see the remedy for changing all of that negativity and them seeing themselves in that negative mindset and thinking that it's all right and it's a good thing. And that's where the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ can purify their minds and hearts and clean everything to bring about this positive and brand new start. And all we have to do as a people is know beyond a shadow of a doubt that once we start to really know that this has worked for 10 or 12 years, not only ending the gang war in 2010, but 10 or 12 years later, it actually had no more murdering going on in the school. And that was great because that was where we were focused. And I am 100% thankful to God and Jesus for bringing that miracle about. And even when we went to Baltimore, we were able to do it there as well. But my point to you is that we can do it now again. But we cannot be doubting Thomases and doubting Thomasinas saying, brother, get out of here. This can't work. No, it can work. And my brothers and my sisters have to see it from a positive perspective. And once we can see this from a positive perspective and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this will definitely come about because God and Jesus is going to help us out. But the thing about it is, can you believe that? And hopefully the answer in your mind and heart at this point is yes. God and Jesus definitely can help us out by bringing an ending to the racist negativity of racist folks that want to kill our children and also from the negativity of our children wanting to kill each other themselves as well. So all I can say is this. We do have the ability to bring about positive change. All we have to do is see it, believe it, and make it into a new reality for our community. And this is something that is not something that might be able to work. Maybe it could work. I doubt it. It probably won't work, but we'll give it a chance. No. You have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this can definitely come about. And when you become a strong believer that knows that through the supernatural and amazing, spectacular power of God and Jesus can actually bring about these miracles like it did in the past, it can do it in the present. But you have to believe it. You have to come into a positive mindset that will allow you to be set free from Satan's negative force that wants to have jurisdiction over thee. You don't need to let that negativity of Satan come into your mind and keep you down and out. You can raise your consciousness up on high and see beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have the ability to work all of this negativity out. And the beautiful thing about it, when we did this in the past, we focused on this with adults and with youth. And when we did this, even with just the adults, we were able to get great results. And all I can say to you is I am very glad to see that we have come together in spiritual unity at this moment to really bring about some positive change. But we have to want that positive change to come about. We have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have the ability to utilize God's spiritual power to stop the madness of Satan in our community. And once we start to see this and know that this is something that we can bring about, then that's what's going to really come about, us bringing about positive change to end the murdering of our people, whether it's coming from racist police officers or racist white people murdering and killing our kids and even our adults, or whether it's a situation where our kids in our community or even adults in our community are killing one another. So these are things that right now I want us all to see, that bright light of God's awesome and amazing spiritual power of divine love and Jesus' divine love going into the minds and hearts of not only just our youth, but even our adults. And in those adults, their minds and hearts are being cleansed and purified as well. And now, but not least, we are seeing also in the white racist police officers that love killing our people because they know they have racist justice system that is not going to give them a day, a week, or a month in prison. And because they know they can get away with it, that's why they keep doing it. But the bottom line is, we're also seeing their minds and their hearts being purified and cleansed. For God said in the Bible, thou shalt not kill. But these racist, negative police officers, or many of them are Ku Klux Klan and Nazis and all this kind of crazy racist white groups that want to come into our community, killing our people, their madness can be purified from their minds as well. And instead of them listening to Satan, they can also listen to God and Jesus and know that what they're doing is wrong, even though they've been told that, no, if I kill a black person, that's a good thing. It's not a good thing. That's a Satan thing. And you don't have to be captured by your mind, by Satan, to be telling you to do evil and wicked things to our people. So what we need to do is start to see power of God's supernatural, amazing, and spectacular power of God's divine love and Jesus' divine love going into their minds and hearts as well and purifying their thoughts, purifying their hearts to stop killing our people. They do not need to move forward any longer by slaughtering our people, our children, our women, and, of course, our brothers. They want to take them out. And the beautiful thing about it, we can stop this negativity and this madness by focusing on the awesome and amazing spiritual power of God in Jesus the Christ. And all, not only just the racist police officers, but all of the racist groups that have been killing our people as well, may their hearts and minds also be filled with the spiritual power of God's divine love and Jesus' divine love, and purifying their minds and hearts to stop murdering our people. And as we focus on this without fear and without doubt, and seeing this as truly coming about, it will come about. But we have to have our minds and hearts truly focused on seeing beyond the shadow of a doubt that these are things that can truly come about through the power of God's awesome, amazing, and supernatural power in Jesus' as well, the divine love, entering into this situation where their minds will be cleansed, where their hearts will be cleansed, where the purification of all that negativity will definitely come about. But we have to believe in this beyond the shadow of a doubt. And I understand how the brainwashing of our people has kept some of us so strongly into the mindset of not being able to see that we have anything to do with this type of ability. But for those of you that can start to see a positive mindset, please do so now. And we're going to put that energy throughout our nation and start to affect the minds and hearts of white racist police officers, of white racist groups, of our children that want to kill one another, and even our adults that want to kill each other. May that light of God's divine love and Jesus' divine love bring about positive change in all those different directions of seeing murdering come about. May it all come to an end as it happened in the past. May it all come to an end and no longer allow Satan's negativity to last in the mind of youth and adults that are focused on murdering and killing people in our community. That's right. We can bring it about, but we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it would definitely, definitely happen. So once again, I thank each and every one of you for coming on the call and knowing that in us coming together in spiritual unity and having our minds up on high, and knowing that our goals and dreams can start to fly in the name of Christ Jesus, it will happen. So believe it, and we will achieve it. And right now, we just have a few minutes left where the music can come on, and we can end things on a positive, wonderful, spiritual note. So Brother Ron, if you could bring that on right now, that would be great.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's got to get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be.
Don't ever depart. It gets cold in the night.
But you'll be alright.